the jump, huh? But you're missing one thing. That's true love. You may be swimming in an ocean of money and fame. Everybody out there screaming your name, but you ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing if you don't have love. Sing it, boy.
If you're driving up around in your fancy cars,
yeah.
Everybody in the heaven knows who you are, but you ain't got nothing.
You ain't got nothing if you ain't got love. Listen to me, children.
It's gonna be hard on you to
yeah.
know.
So yeah.
You're the life of the party, center of the show, and still don't have true love that you can depend on.
You better say it like it is, boy.
When the curtains are closed and the lights come down, will those so-called friends still be around? Take a little time and find a love you can count on.
Yeah, that's it, that's it.
Maybe swimming in the ocean of money and fame. Everybody out there screaming your name, but you ain't got nothing.
Everybody in the hood knows who you are. Listen.
It's gonna be hard for you to wear a mask like you don't care. But in your heart you know you need someone who will be there.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Love you and share your pain. And not because of your name. Without your love you're on a road going nowhere.
Nowhere.
Even living in a mansion on top of the
you ain't got a thing if you ain't got love. Listen, y'all need to sing along with me. Yeah. God is love and he's waiting on you. Hey, thank you for joining me for today's webcast. I know that it's been a minute. I know that it's been a little minute. I have been in not in dire straits, but in a very difficult time. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I haven't worked a regular job since about the middle of December of last year. And so it's been quite a journey trying to keep the bills paid and everything else. I've had to eject some people out of my life and trying to move forward. But I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to even criticize my status. Let me let this boy end out because he's aching to end it out. Listen, 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 listen. You ain't got nothing. The boy's saying it right. He's saying if you ain't got the love of God in your heart, you don't have too much. Man, what's been going on the news these days? Are you kidding me? Seems like the whole world's going crazy. You know, we got a new president in there, right? Got Donald Trump. And, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you who this was. Let's see. It's from an album called Lost and Found. That's all I can tell you. I can't find the album cover here. I have a lot of other records that I can play for you. And, you know, my theme has been love. And I'm telling you, if you ain't got nothing, you need to have love, because love is what'll make you go. I think Eric Bonet puts it better.
I believe in the power inside of my heart.
That's what Eric Bonet says. Listen.
God is the source from whom we're never apart.
We're never apart from God.
Yes. No challenge too great and no cause is too small.
Say it, Mr. Bonet, yes.
This infinite love is inside of us all.
And you, my friends, that haven't heard from me in a while. You know, you've been coming to the site, and it seems like PJ is he dead? Is he gone? Did he disappear? What the heck has happened? I was thinking about something, and I've got to find the number. I know I have it here. I was listening to music yesterday, and I heard the Temptations singing that famous song that was written back in the 60s, Rolling Stone, Papa's Just a Rolling Stone. If I wanted to give a clear analysis of the African-American home today, what happened? What happened to the strong families that we used to have? What happened to the strong relationships that we used to abide in? What happened to the friendships? What happened to the trust? You know, there's one thing I can say. When all of my finances ran out here, and I want to thank my web server for not shutting down my website. I'm going to try to get them some money and shoot it their way sometime today. So if they're listening, I hope that they don't shut me down because I'm, oh my God. But I want to tell you something. You really, really find out who your friends are. I have a friend of mine that has been helping me immensely. I am beyond words. It is as if, I won't get into that because he wouldn't like that too much if I said too much. But all I can say is thank you, brother, for loving on a level that is, you know, what I've been preaching about since the year 2002 on this website. I've been preaching about it. And then from all those years, here's a brother, least likely, responding back. I was on my way to a job that didn't contact me. I had to go down and see, hey, why aren't you contacting me? As a matter of fact, I have an interview today. And for those of you that pick up this thing early, if you believe in the power of prayer, I think I have the position. I think I do. I'm not sure in my heart of hearts because people, you know, things change. And some of the youngsters tell me, see, you're thinking negatively. You have to think positively. Well, I'm going to think positively as I step over here and make me another cup of coffee. That's what I'm going to do. As I talk with you about that, I'm standing up in the studio now. I hope that you can still hear me. I'm a little away from the mic, but I just want to say that I don't believe that a bunch of prayers coming from someone on the behalf of another person is going to change God's mind. God has something already in the works, and I want you guys to know this. Whenever you get down to dire straits, you know, when you can't pay that bill, when nobody calls you anymore to go out to the events. I called a friend of mine, and they told me that they were on their way to China. That they and a few friends, mutual friends that I know, are going to China. And you know what the person said to me? He said, see, if you had taken that position at the college and done all that other stuff and put all that other stuff behind, you could have been going with us. And I thought about that. That's not true. Because going to China is not in the will of God for me. The will of God for me, I know I am at an age beyond retirement, okay? I am at an age beyond the retirement age. 65 is a retirement age, right? I didn't start collecting Social Security to 67. I'm, no, not 67. I meant till I was 67 years old, okay? And then they told me about what benefits I can do, and I thank God for that. I thank God that I made decisions in my life, earlier in my life, what to do with my home, what to do with, man, if it wasn't for this reverse mortgage, and I'm not concerned about who owns the house after I pass on. I'm not. Doesn't mean anything. The bank can have it. Anybody can have it. I've never been a materialist. And that's what I want to talk with you guys about. If I'm going to bring you some good news, don't become a materialist. Because once you become a materialist, you will never, ever get back on your feet. You know, I love music. I've loved music all of my life. And I feel a little weird just talking without sharing with you. I have one of the finest, I think the young man is one of the finest artists out. You may not like all of his music, but I like some of it. And I'm thinking that this first cut will identify who I'm talking about as you listen to it. Let's listen to a little music, then I'll come back and I'll share it with you. I'll share with you a little bit more. That's Maxwell in the background. I like the beats and the rhythm of his music. So, why don't you chill with me a little bit and listen to a little Maxwell, and then I'll be back with you a little bit later in this webcast, okay? So, let's dust up the house if you're working around the house, or if you want to get a little shuffle going on. Okay, let me see if I can put a little rhyme together for you, whether I can do that. Here I go. I don't let things get me down. All I want to do is just hang around. I wanna be your friend. Hey, this coffee's pretty good this morning too. Looks like it's going to be a wonderful day in Los Angeles. Just wonderful. Looks like it's a little hazy. Clouds outside. This is what I want you to do for me, my friend. This is what I want you to do for me. I want you to think about who you can help today. Who you can help. Who really needs the help. Who's striving towards that help. Who is making an effort in their life to do? Yeah, that's what it's all about. Maxwell has always been one of my favorites. And just listening to him is a wonderful thing because it lays the groundwork for what's happening. I was looking for this record. Papa Was a Rolling Stone, because a lot of people, and I have to find it. I know it's in my library, so I'm going to have to leave the microphone a little bit, and I'm going to have to walk over to the CD rack and find that song. And then when I find that song by the Temptations and I come back, I'm going to give you my analysis of what happened to the black family in America, because we don't have black institutions. As a matter of fact, I think I heard on the news that this first... Black National Bank that was opened up, I think, this week back east. I heard on NPR radio, and that was a very good, thank you, Mr. Maxwell, that was a very good thing to see, that we are finally having our own institutions. We've never had a bank. Is there an African-American television station in this country owned solely by African-Americans? I remember there was a time when Bill Cosby, who is still alive, and you know, we don't hear too much about those women claiming that he groped them. Why don't we hear anything about that? Did they get paid off? Why did it stop? Why is it that when Bill tried to buy NBC, a network, think of it, a black man owning a major network, owning it. I mean, if you get five basketball players, black basketball players, and put them together, five of them, with the millions that they have, couldn't they buy a little TV station, just not a powerful network, just a little one, and put excellent programming on there, have excellent commentary, hire an old dude like me, don't pay me anything but about maybe, what can I live off of, $35,000 a year, pay me that, and just have me come on and talk. Not dressed to the hilt, not to become a superhero, not to become another Tavis Smiley. There's no one like Tavis Smiley. I love Tavis. I love what Tavis does for the community. I love his aggressiveness to attack certain subject matters. I think that we ought to keep some of our great doctors and professors. I have many of their books in my library. And in this television station, you know, just browsing around in my head and my heart, have us put on some decent programming instead of Beyonce and Jay-Z and people like that are people that we have to deal with in our community. Hip-hop and all that it means, we have to deal with that because it's real in our community. So we accept those things, but we don't accept that primarily as a way to guide our children or to lead our children into a prosperous lifestyle that could benefit their lives. We need a television station. We need something to put on those big, beautiful screens that all of us go to Costco or wherever we go to buy those screens from. You can get them for peanuts now. I was looking around. I have two old monitors in my studio here that I really need to get rid of. And I have one computer. It has practically all my work on it. This thing is about, it's an old HP desktop and it's getting ready to crash. I gotta get Xerox over here to clear off the hard drive and to put them on a flash disk and to get a smaller screen, a computer, and to modernize my studio because I'm operating in the Stone Age, I understand. Every time I go out to Best Buy and things like that, I said, oh my God, everything is digital. I can do it this way. I was looking at all the shows that I have stacked up. Listen, I've gotten rid of most of the VHS tapes that I had all that stuff on. I've thrown out so much stuff here within the past couple of months because I've been unemployed. So I've been going through the house just getting rid of stuff, throwing out masterful amounts of material, books, everything else that I'll never read again. Trying to do the clearing out that my daughters asked me to do before I pass away. And I'm finding material. Yet today I'm finding material. I have it on DVDs. When I watch them, I forget when I recorded it. And all those things. But, you know, the beautiful part of it is that each of us have a history. And the history of these things that I'm getting rid of define me. If any of you know anything about my home, I had a patio room in my home. Well, in the last storm that came here in L.A., it just, man, I had suffered a leak in the roof of the patio room, and it was a customized patio room. And when the first storm came in January, and when the second storm hit, it just caved in. It destroyed the carpet, everything, and I had to get rid of an awful lot of stuff. And in getting rid of stuff, I've had to clear my mind of a lot of things. You know, I have reel-to-reel tapes of some of my work. I have a reel-to-reel Akai tape recorder. I don't know how secure it is in playing right now. I know that its motor is slowed down. I'd like to get it tightened up and so that it would play appropriately. And I think I ought to do that. I had to put it in a shop somewhere. There's only one shop here in Los Angeles that I know of down on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood that I could get it repaired. Group of old guys that work on stuff like that, but I want to get it done because I'd love to hear some of my early work that I have on tape, and I want to hear it before I get rid of it. That means before I start throwing them out. So, Lord willing, I get this new employment coming up. Well, in my off time during whatever times, because I don't know when I'm going to be working, I'm going to work on those. And I'm going to try to put some of them up on the website just to let you hear some of my early stuff before I even came into cassette tapes. My goodness. You see how excited I am about that? And since I know that some of these things that I'm looking at are really speaking about things that God has given me to speak about, and I can still speak about them. I was elated. Just let me say this. I was elated to discover that a relative of mine, a nephew to be exact, who's unfortunately can't be out on the streets walking around, he told me that he listens to everything that I produce. It immensely blessed my heart. I guess when you have a lot of time on your hands, and what you can do is you can take that time and listen to somebody speak to you. You know what this person told me? And it blessed my little heart. Well, my old heart, that's for sure. He said that he wished that I had more to do with him when he was coming up, and that he probably would be in a better place today. And I had to share with him why I couldn't spend that time with him. And I was being very transparent and told him that when I was a man married to a wife, that my wife had an awful lot to do with what happened in my life, who came into my home, whom I spent a lot of time with, how I spent that time with them. All of this was taken care of by my wife. Oh, I see. Here's a young man I haven't spoke with in a while. He's put something up. He says, yeah. Let me see. Job offers popping up on my phone. That's what that is that you hear in the background. Because when I look for a job, I look for a job. I really do. I'm excited about this job. If I could shape the direction of a young man's goals towards benefiting the young man or the young woman's beautiful lives. You know what, if I had the power to look in and to see down the road where this young person could be 10 years, 15 years from now, and if I had any kind of way of being a guiding light as a parent, not as a manipulator, but as a parent to guide them, and so that it would be easy to say, my neighbor walking all four of his dogs. Oh, my goodness. A neighbor walking all four of his dogs. I see that often. Walking in front of the Lucy Coleman studio now, and the dogs is pulling the man down the street. They picked up a scent of broman when I crossed the street with them yesterday. Okay, so they're picking up broman. Ah, my goodness. How are you guys doing up there today? MBA programs. Further your education with a master's in business. Okay. Yeah, that's true. I wonder how we're, no, I can't stand going back to school. Not even online. No more degrees. I have enough collegiate degrees to go through. The wisdom is still floating around in my brain. My brain seems solid enough to handle a logical analysis. I hope that you've been enjoying the lessons in logic. I've been enjoying bringing them to you. Well, let me find this record so I can play it for you here. Yeah, I think I got it mixed up here pretty good. What happened to us? What happened to our generation? What happened to our families? What happened to our leaders? Well, I think it all began to take place around 1966, 67, when the heightening of the Vietnam War took place, the cream of the crop developed into a sour pot. The cream of the crop became the sour pot. And if a youngster would ask his mama today for a living testimony as to what happened to our people, she would answer with a bass guitar and some tapping of some drums. And then this would be called a kind of a philosophical anthology of what happened to my community, all in this record. In this record right here. Listen to the words. It bespeaks my community. I'm not being funny. I want you to hear it. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that. It has a long introduction, but it needs one. I'm almost a minute into the introduction of the song. Listen to every word, you'll understand. It starts off on the note of a dead man's funeral. Sons asking their mother, what happened to daddy? Was it the 3rd of September, a day you'll always remember? I think so.
It was the 3rd of September.
That's what I thought.
That day I'll always remember.
Why?
Yes, will you remember?
Why?
Cause it was the day that my daddy died.
Now this is very significant. Because it's the day that his daddy died. You see, the day that the daddy died in the black community is where the black community went down.
I never got a chance to see him.
How many young black men and black women have never gotten a chance to see or to talk or to interact with their fathers? The testimony was shot completely. He's selling drugs, selling his body, his penis, whatever it took for him to survive. He just stooped down to the dirt level.
Mama, I'm depending on you.
What?
Tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone.
Listen. Listen up, y'all. Listen up, y'all. It continues. Another boy asks a question. Listen.
Is it true what you say that Papa never worked a day in his life?
Never worked a day in his life.
And Mama?
What?
Bad talk went around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife.
Yep.
And that ain't right.
Yeah.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talked about saving souls and all the time leeching.
I spent most of my professional career as a pastor, warning the congregations against papas like that. Papas as a rolling stone behind the pulpit, pimping God's people, pimping the community, pimping. That's why the church has practically no voice at all in our community today. Stealing in the name of the Lord. Oh. Rolling stone. Play that, play it, play it.
Hey mama, what? I heard Papa call himself a jack of all trades. Tell me, is that what's in Papa to an early grave?
Did you hear that? Papa was a jack of all trades, and that's what sent Papa to an early grave. I got so many young men that I know of that are out there doing things that'll take them to an early grave. God, I love these boys when I talk with them. And I say, look at me. Look at wisdom. And stop this. And know that love is trying to reach you, babies. Stop this. It'll send you to an early grave. The Temptations sung about it years ago. And we knew what they were saying.
Say Papa would beg, borrow, steal to pay his bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Mama.
Listen.
Don't say Papa never was much on banking.
Chasing women and drinking. The Temptations knew about it back in the day. We knew about it. I used to preach against drinking like that. Now, I drink a glass of wine now and then. I don't like getting drunk. I mean, getting inebriated is not my... And especially driving drunk. You've got to be out of your mind with the DUIs now. $10,000 just to get your name cleared. Oh, my God. I wouldn't even know how to secure 10 grand. Uh-huh. And what did Mama say?
Mama looked up with a tear in her eye and said,
Mama looked up with a tear in her eye and said, she got it. That's what happened to our community. That's what happened to the black community right there. It's all found in that number. Papa was a Rolling Stone. That's from an album, The Temptations, Legends of Soul. And I mean, what a group. And when the group did the piece, we danced off of it. Now, why did black people dance off this? I'll tell you why they danced off of it, because we as a people have always been able to take the negativity. And I think the Latinas also, my cousins, I cannot get this out of my mind. I agree with many of the, I have a dear friend of mine that contacted me from New York all the time, and he's Hispanic. He grew up here in Los Angeles. And he tells me all the time that we are so similar as opposed to being dissimilar, that when we really look at our communities, our homes, the way we live, the way we laugh, the way we love, suppressed people have always been uniquely closely related. When you look at many peoples of African descent here in this country, because I've been listening to Dr. Claude Anderson, I think his name is, another individual that was brought to my attention, that I'm looking at his work. He's a Puerto Rican fella, and he does the poetry beautifully, and I'm just loving people that are speaking with one voice now, and it's a voice of love, to love our people, to love our culture. You know what? I don't think that it takes much to delve into who you are, and if you delve deeply into who you are, once you look at a fellow brother or sister in the face and you can see yourself in them, and the picture that we see when we look at others sometimes seems to be a very ugly picture, but that's not the picture that I want to dwell upon. I want to dwell upon the beautiful picture, the focus of attention, so to say, that can guide us in a way to, oh man, love to look in that brother's face. When you're in the train station waiting to catch the train to go to work, to that part-time job, all right, to make that $75 a week that you work in to bring home, because you already got that money allocated out. You didn't promise mama you're going to pay her the other part of the rent. And you're going to get that money from that little short change job that you got. You go ahead and do it, boy. You go ahead, young lady. You do that. You put yourself to it. And you get that work done. You keep that smile on your face. I know you're working at Starbucks. They don't pay too much. That's all right. I know you're working in that fast food place. That's all right. You're living in the inner city. You hear what's going on. You see what's happening. When you come home into that house and you got that portion of a back room that you're sleeping in with three other people, I know it's uncomfortable. I know your clothes are dirty. You want to wash them. I know. I got one kid over here. He's washing everything all the time. I said, my goodness. My washing, the laundry bill going to be higher than everything else. Got another one always trying to keep warm. Said, boy, you better turn that heat off. Wrap up in a blanket or something. See, listen, I know. And since I know, God knows. This is where it becomes very important for you, my friend, that's listening to me. Very important. I'm going to give you the key to all. I know this is a very difficult thing to talk about with younger people, but I'm giving you some news. There is a God that can help you out there. Now, I'm not going to give you these human names that we call on him about. I always give suggestions, and there's a good intellectual movie out there that will show you that. Apocalypto, if you were a student of philosophy of mind and world religions, you remember that movie because, or you recall that movie because we watched it and we analyzed how many times Jaguar Paul and the people, the characters in the Mel Gibson film called upon their God. And Mel Gibson has, believe it or not, a very fond affection for the same God that I have. The God of my forefathers. The only God that I've been, that I can choose to call upon, because I only know him as Yahweh. Hey, look, let me tell y'all something. I used to preach from a text of scripture that, you know, the words of Jesus, and Jesus said, "My Father hears you when you are yet calling on him." I was on my way to try to secure some kind of employment. I just put on a shirt, suit, tie, and was headed towards downtown. I said, "I got to get me some work, man. I'm not going to sit on my butt and watch my life rot away in personal neglect." And while I was in the car listening to relaxation music on my radio, the phone rung. And it was an inquiring about my life. And I laughingly told them, "Oh man, I got a few more dollars in the bank and I'm trying to hold on to that because I got things coming up that I got to take care of." And God answered my prayer while I was yet talking about where I was. I wasn't complaining. I was doing. There's one thing I want to motivate people to do, is to do here in this good old United States of America. That's right. It's our country. Lover or leaver. I saw on the news yesterday on Bill O'Reilly that, man, we got more men in the military going back over to Afghanistan, to that part of the region of the world. They send in whole brigades and stuff over there to fight. We backing up our allies over there. They're getting rid of ISIS. They're getting rid of ISIS. I remember when ISIS came out, Obama was weak on that. I know I shouldn't be talking about politics, but I got to say it. Obama was weak on ISIS, and that is because I believe of his Islamic background. ISIS is not of the Islamic faith. It is not Islam. It is a cruel form of witchery, devilry, debased human debauchery is what that group of insane asylums are. And what is so terrible about that is that they have infiltrated the minds of our young people, because there was no Papa. Papa gave up his role in America. He gave up that role. There's very few Papas that still operating out there with an iron fist in the lives of the sons of their flesh. And the sons that really understand and appreciate that wisdom will listen to it and let that carry the day. This is what I want you to do. Oh my, what is this one? I'm glad that you're able to hear this. Democracy Now!, David K. Johnson speaks out about receiving and revealing 2 pages of Trump's tax paper. Who cares about Trump's taxes? And people sending me Fidelity Life, man, what else? Boy, all this mail, I cannot be that. Cure my baldness and start a regrowth. No, I don't have to do that. I shave my head bald every day, and I have a full head of white hair. I think I'll continue to shave it, because I have this interview. As a matter of fact, I can't spend too much time at the mic. I think I've spent too much time already. I've spoken to you, my young ones, and here again, I'm hoping and praying and intending the best for your lives. I don't want to speak any negativity in it or positivity. I want to speak life itself. I'm looking out the window at a tree that my wife planted. I will not take it up. I think that it's dead, but now and then there's a bloom that comes on it, and I'm anticipating a fresh bloom soon. If not, I'll have to take her up. She's lived out the finest of her life. Now, until that comes in my life, I'm like that tree. I recall there was a scripture, I believe, in the Old Testament scriptures of the Hebrew Bible that says, like a tree that is planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Because a tree that is planted by the water has deep roots. Her roots go down deep, reaching into the sustenance. I'm going to ask my gardeners to take her up and to chop her up, but I'm not going to watch it, because I remember the day that Lucy planted it. And it's a tall, strong limb tree, but it hasn't bore fruit in a while. That's what's been happening in our country. Time for us to bear some fruit. Okay, 46 minutes into the webcast, and you know, it's unlike me just to say goodbye. So what I will attempt to do now is to play, if I can find, wait a minute, let me go back to who I was playing earlier. Since I played the Temptations, you know, I like the Motown sounds, you know, I really do. And what I'm thinking about doing now is, I think I'll go to number 7 on this cut also, and then you will, and then you will understand what I'm doing. 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7. Two of us. You know what he meant? If we're gonna get together, it's gonna take two of us working at this. It just takes two. Listen, the person you with, work with them. If it's your young husband, your young wife, work. Make that dream come true. It takes two of you to do it. Listen to the simple words. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Just me and you. Just takes two. Yeah, listen. It takes two, baby. Two, baby. To make a dream come true. Listen to the chorus.